We're now recording.
Thank you. Marika, I can do it, or you want to do the roll? What's easiest?
I do one.
Okay, I have it in front of me, so I'll go ahead and do it.
Okay, perfect. Thanks.
As you all can imagine, Glenn can't be with us today, so I'll do the roll call. This is Paul Diaz, chair of the working group, and hailing from the registrar constituency. On the call, we also have Michael Connor from business constituency, Kevin Erdman from IPC, Barbara Steele from Registry Constituency, Sebastian Balachet from, I'm sorry, Sebastian, if I mispronounced that, from ALAC, James Bladel from Registrar Constituency, and Michael Collins from Business Constituency. From staff, we have Marika Konings and Olaf Nordling, and we receive regrets from Adam Eisner. And I see somebody else joined, David.
Hello.
Hi, David. David Strein. Where do you hail from? First time I've seen your name on the list.
It's Impala Asset Management. Is this the IHG conference call?
This is for transfers.
Okay, I think I may be on the wrong call. I'm supposed to be on the Intercontinental call.
No, it's a different group entirely.
Okay.
No problem.
Here, bye.
Okay. Thought maybe he's covering for Mark, but no, wrong call. Very good. Thank you, everyone, for being here and for being on time. Obviously, the confusion we had with the last call, the notices or reminders are useful, and we'll continue to have Glenn send them out in advance. Pleasure meeting all of you, those who were able to make it out to Cairo. Just as a quick update for those who didn't, weren't there, we provided the council, GNSL Council, a quick update on the status of the working group. They're very pleased to hear that, you know, we're moving along at a pretty good pace. We have committed to them to try and have our initial report draft ready, approved, and actually posted, ideally in the next 2 weeks. That's just our own internal deadline. I would like to try and push us to do that just so that ideally we might be able to wrap this thing up by the end of the year or certainly early into January. But we'll take however much time we need, and as always, encouraging everybody, as we go through the report, if you have positions, have issues, et cetera, please post them up and have your voice heard. We'd like to have the initial report as all-encompassing and as accurate as possible. As I had noted before we started the recording, we'll be working off of the draft that Marika provided us, dated, I guess, 28 October. This is a draft that's up on our wiki site. If you don't already have it in front of you, I'd please ask in the next few moments, go out to the wiki and pull the draft report up. Going back a couple of weeks now, in our last call when everybody's present, we had kind of gone through most of the report. Those comments that we had inserted, and you can see in the draft Marika has provided us. What we have not really done as much, and I think probably the place for us to start, given the inputs that we've received to date, it seems most generally support the idea of coming up with partial bulk transfer terms. However, as we note in our report and as we've sort of skirted around in our calls, we haven't really fleshed out what that means, what those terms are, and as a group we sort of need to come to consensus. Do we want to try and flesh out the terms, or are we willing to simply offer up a kind of general recommendation and, I guess, punt on the issue to council and say, you know, we recommend that more study be done and leave it to some future group. Personally, speaking as a registrar rep, I would like to take a crack at trying to flesh this out. I think it's an intriguing idea and one that seems to have piques a lot of interest. So I would like to try and do it. But again, in my role as chair, I'm trying to keep ears wide open for everybody's recommendations, so I leave it to the group. How would you all like to proceed on this issue 3 on today's call? Anybody, please.
This is Barbara. I would agree. I think it would be helpful if we could at least put some general terms or requirements surrounding a partial bulk transfer.
This is Michael Connor. I agree, too.
Okay. This is Michael Collins.
Yes, Michael.
This is Michael Collins. I also think that would be a good idea, and I have at least one idea or one issue that I've thought of since our last conversation.
Okay. Make it easier. Is there anybody who feels that we should just do a general recommendation and avoid specifics? Great. Okay. Then, Michael Collins, if you have an idea, why don't you start the discussion? Go ahead and offer it up.
Well, one issue of concern that we've discussed whether registrants should be able to use this, and I think there was some consensus that that would be up to the registrars. You know, whether they would provide a service to the registrants. And there's only one detail that needs to be considered. If you're talking about a partial bulk transfer between two registrars, it's easy to assume that both registrars are cooperating. But if it's a bulk, you know, partial bulk transfer initiated by a registrant through a gaming registrar, it may not necessarily include the same level of cooperation from the losing registrar, and I wonder if there's a way we can accommodate that.
That's a great thought. Does anybody have any initial response?
This is Mikey. I think that what we might want to do is get our terms laid down in general and then see if we can address Michael's issue once we've got that terminology figured out. At least for me, it would be easier to answer that question once I knew sort of the specifics of what we were proposing.
This is James.
Go ahead, James.
Michael, if I'm understanding your concern correctly, is it that the losing registrar might not cooperate with this particular provision, the partial bulk transfer?
Let's at least be clear that the losing registrar may not have any incentive to cooperate.
Okay. And would that, I'm just trying to think here, if we're building a recommendation that a modification be made to the existing IRTP, would that, if a registrar did that, would that be a violation of the IRTP as a whole?
Yeah, that was was going to be a question for you, Michael, and for the group. And Mike Runbaugh, I see you've joined us now as well. Welcome. You know, currently, when a registrar, a losing registrar, is non-cooperative, what are the mechanisms? What does the registrant do to get their transfer request processed?
The only reason I bring it up, though, is that the procedure for a partial bulk transfer is different than a regular registrant transfer that includes, for example, paying a transfer fee.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I brought it up. Yes, in a regular transfer, I think that the losing registrar is obligated to follow IRTP policy, but I don't think that's included in a partial bulk transfer, so maybe we could include it. I don't know. I'm open to some input about how to resolve this. It was just something that occurred to me that we have not addressed.
Mm-hmm.
This is Olaf here. I think we come that far, that it is a recommendation that registrant-initiated partial bulk transfers would be, there would be rules for it and such in the IRTP, it follows that there is an obligation to follow those rules because, then we have a modification of the IRTP. So, non-cooperation or in that sense would be indeed be a violation of the IRTP as far as I can see it. Stupid Swede comment, I said.
Well, it may be,
I would
then
agree
if
with that.
I'm sorry. It may be then that we should just go with Michael O'Connor's, Mikey's suggestion of putting together the rest of this and see if there's a problem. Maybe it all works out.
Mm-hmm. It's Mikey again. Another thought that occurs to me is that I'm not sure that there is such a thing as a registrant-initiated partial bulk transfer. It seems to me that if I were a registrant and I wanted that to happen, I would always call my gaining registrar, and that the gaining registrar would actually be the people who would initiate that.
Mikey, this is Barbara. I mean, that would be the case because obviously registrants do not have a contractual relationship with the registry to be able to initiate a transfer directly. They would have to go through a gaining registrar. I'm wondering if it makes sense when we're defining kind of what we would expect, because I think there does seem to be the merit in, you know, putting some rules around this in the IRTP, you know, perhaps just as an FOA is required for a normal transfer, from one registrar to another. Perhaps what we would require is, you know, maybe an FOA, and any domain names that would fall under that FOA would have to have the same registrant and admin contact details for any domains that were included under that, just to show that there was actually agreement by the registrant that the name should be transferred from one registrar to another. But I think some of the same requirements would be there, but I think we may have to put some additional requirements in place as well.
Yeah, I agree.
Barbara, this is...
Barbara, are you... just a question. Are you talking about kind of group FOA for one FOA to deal with many domains?
I think that would be appropriate in the circumstance that we're discussing right now, where you're talking about perhaps a large portfolio holder of domain names wanting to transfer their entire portfolio from one registrar to another. Now, you know, obviously, if you have a situation where one of the things that we hear about quite regularly would be the case where a reseller, for instance, of a registrar becomes accredited by ICANN and wants to transfer the names that they were previously managing through another ICANN-accredited registrar to their own accreditation. And in that particular case, I think that there may be a separate set of rules that, you know, the gaining registrar would be required to actually provide a notification to each registrant, because obviously it would be a different... Or admin contact, I guess, and it could be as well, because it would be a different circumstances. They could have different registrants and admin contacts for the individual names that would be managed by that reseller in that particular case. So I think that there are some different circumstances that we would have to consider and perhaps provide guidance around.
Okay, I believe somebody else is trying to say something as well. And we just want to capture all the thoughts. These are all very, very good points. Somebody else, were they trying and they got cut off?
Well, this is James. I was going to bring up the reseller scenario, but Barbara touched on that as well. So.
Okay. All right, just letting it soak all in. The last point that Barbara's made and James alluded to as well, in the event an entity becomes an accredited registrar and they're seeking a partial bulk transfer, basically to move names that were held elsewhere into their newly accredited registrar database. The suggestion that maybe we have a particular set of rules governing that as opposed to just a portfolio owner moving names about, just a question for the group, but do you have concern that if we start trying to tease out different circumstances, we may be creating something of an unwieldy beast? Or can we perhaps, you know, still craft these partial bulk terms to encompass both the entity becoming an accredited registrar and wanting to transfer scenario, as well as a portfolio holder?
Paul, this is James.
Mm-hmm.
Some thoughts on that would be that I feel that we should define item 3 In terms of the transactions or the operations between between registrars for the reseller accreditation scenario, and that should be a sufficiently useful tool that registrars, like, and I can tell you that GoDaddy would be one of them, can then take that tool and build a product and service offering around that for registrants, similar to what we currently have in place, and do on an individual basis. If we presume that the obligations on the losing registrar are inherited from the IRTP as a whole, I think that it may not be necessary to specify those within any sort of policy modification if we can just refer back to the IRTP. That's okay. Just one proposed idea for a strategy on how we would approach issue three.
All right. A question for the group. We're dancing around this. A number of us have touched on it. Is the group in general, the opinion that the IRTP rules as they exist right now would apply in a partial bulk transfer scenario? Does anybody believe that partial bulk transfer is so different it would, the rules would not apply?
This is Mikey. I think the one question that came up in Cairo that we probably have to touch on is what the fee would be. Because in certain instances, there's no fee.
Okay.
I think we need to clarify that.
And this is Barbara. I think from a fee perspective, I think it should be at the discretion of the registry operator to set their fee, but I think that perhaps we should stipulate that the fee would not be able to exceed the basically the per name fee. So for instance, if you're charging $6 to in essence for the transfer of a domain name, and say there are 10 names that are going to be a partial bulk transfer, that the fee charged by the registry to the registrar would not be able to exceed, in essence, $60. Obviously, I think that most registries would obviously go with a fee that's less than that. The Neustar offering that they have available is, I believe, a minimum of $1,000 or I think it's 10 cents a name. But I think that we really can't get into a lot of details of what the pricing should be. I think that really needs to be driven by the market and the registry. How the registrars price that out to their customers, again, that should be within their discretion as well.
Okay. And I just wanted, for clarification, the connection wasn't as clear as I'd like it. Barbara, you're suggesting that this group today, our group, our working group, set a maximum threshold and then leave whatever pricing to the registry operator, in your example, to VeriSign's discretion, what the actual pricing could be. But our policy would say it could not be any higher than what you suggested, maybe what the current fee is.
Right.
Got it correct? Okay.
That's it in a nutshell, basically.
And then, of course, registrars, if they determine that they need to charge any sort of additional fee, that too is at their discretion. They don't have to, but they could if they wanted.
Right.
That's a suggestion. Okay.
Olaf here, a little follow-up question on that. Now, we've talked about different scenarios for partial bulk transfer, and perhaps it's also important to check whether would this fee be applicable in all those scenarios. So would there be scenarios where perhaps we could give advice on that? Three, four different scenarios here. I mean, one registrar buying another, or now that's a full bulk transfer, but other voluntary agreements between registrars and a new registrar arising from being a reseller, and whether registrant initiated, certainly would be probably a fee there, I suppose.
Do we cover that, Olaf, by following Barbara's suggestion of, in our rule, establishing a max, a cap no more than, and of course this is the discretion of the parties involved to say we won't charge any fee.
That's indeed. Now the question is, do we have any views on that? I don't, but if there are cases where it would be inappropriate to have that particular fee at all. I can't think of anything off the cuff, but just wanted to bring up the question.
A very interesting point. Anybody have any initial thoughts on that?
This is Mikey. I have to cogitate about sort of the consumer perspective on that. I don't have a visceral negative reaction, but I would want to think about possible abuse scenarios.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But my initial reaction is fine.
And this is Barbara. I would prefer to try to keep it as simple as possible.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's complex.
Definitely
enough
agree
with
that. Yeah, I agree there too.
All right. Barbara, I don't know if you've already reached out, but if you could in the interim, just so that we have a point of reference, like what Neustar actually is charging for their service, it'd be helpful just to know, to for the record, and we might include it as a for example type clause or sentences in our report.
Sure, I can do that. I am fairly confident that it's $1,000 minimum for 10 cents a name.
Yeah.
But I'll confirm that.
Again, for our initial report, I think it would be useful having it out there because, again, once it's put to public comments and when we're seeking constituency statements, there might be a much stronger reaction when people and when interested parties understand what is currently being done in the marketplace and they have that point of reference.
Sure.
All right, so we've touched on a number of things, broad brush. One of the things that's come up in previous calls was the actual mechanism of providing a partial bulk transfer. What we have today for a bulk transfer request, there's a procedures that the registries follow. For partial bulk transfer, I guess there's going to be some development effort involved in coming up with a way. I guess Neustar has done something like this.
They have, and quite honestly, it's a very small tweak that needs to be done. In fact, I don't know that you could really call it development work, but I know from our perspective, if we need to, in essence, transfer a domain name from one registrar to another, we basically just provide a list of the domain names to our ops team, along with, I believe, the losing and the gaining registrars. And they basically run the script against that particular list versus basically taking all domains from registrar A and transfer them to registrar B. And it sounds from the conversations that I've had with Jeff Newman that they're doing something very similar at Neustar.
Okay. So again, for our report, when we've got the initial report going out, if we can sketch out how we envision it operating, how what the procedure will look like. Again, we're providing interested parties, here's the thinking, and if they have some sort of negative reaction to it, they can weigh in. Maybe folks will recognize security concerns, whatever, something. But it's good to know that it won't be expected to be a massive effort on the part of registry operators having to develop some whole new procedure or something.
Correct. And again, this is Barbara. I think that it probably makes some sense to just put some guidelines surrounding the fact that we would need to confirm not only with the gaining registrar the names that would be transferred, but also have a confirmation from the losing registrar that the names on the list are the names to be transferred. And I do think that there needs to be an assertion from the from the gaining registrar that they have contacted all registrants of the domain names that are included in the transfer list, advising them that the transfer is going to occur.
Yeah, wearing my network solutions hat, I absolutely agree, and in fact would insist on that from a security standpoint. I think a partial bulk transfer needs to be treated like any transfer in respect to you need an FOA. It could be understood to be a group FOA, as we discussed earlier, but fundamentally, any of the names, you have to have the auth info code. And that those things, those details are requisite. Just because if it's a particular portfolio holder, they have everything, great, should be very easy for them to get that data, but we don't want to create a situation where some bad actors can game the system and we create an opportunity, an easy way for them to steal valuable names.
I have a question related to that with Michael Collins. With the typical bulk transfer, obviously both registrars are involved, the losing and gaining. And in the scenario that I questioned about where a registrar is wanting to cooperate with the gaining registrar to use this service, the losing registrar may not necessarily be a party to the to the deal. But when this comes up about using it for resellers, wouldn't that require both the losing registrar and the gaining registrar to participate, give permission, I guess, authorize it, because you can't transfer a registrant's name from one registrar to another without either the registrant authorizing it or at least having the registrar authorize it, the registrar of record, I presume. Is that correct?
This is Barbara. I mean, I don't think that you can possibly even consider doing this without the engagement of both the gaining and the losing registrars and the agreement of both parties.
Even in cases where the registrant might have given authorization?
Correct.
A large portfolio holder, for example.
Yeah, I mean, we would have to provide a notice to both the gaining and the losing.
The notice is different than authorizing, I think.
Well, this is Mikey. I have a thought that might help with this. In the current draft, about line 301, Marika's got this fabulous sort of flowchart that describes transfers in an EPP registry. And I think one of the things we might want to do for the partial bulk transfers is try to draw a similar flowchart for who does what in a partial bulk transfer. And then see if, once we've sort of got all those little steps laid out in sequence, whether there's a place that the issue we're talking about now gets fixed. And if not, what we need to do in order to fix it. It's pretty hard right now for me to follow the conversation because I don't really know who does what first and who does what next.
I think we have a couple of different scenarios. Here on the figure that Marika had provided, I mean, obviously this is a registrant-initiated transfer.
Yeah, this isn't. You know, this is just by way of example.
Right. So what I'm thinking is if we do have a registrant-initiated transfer, obviously they would go to their registrar and indicate that, you know, they want to transfer their portfolio of names, but then it would be up to the registrar to engage both the losing registrars if there are multiples, as well as the registry to start working on affecting that transfer. But I really think that there does need to be engagement by both the gaining and the losing registrars. And I believe that one of the registrar representatives that has been involved in the calls, James, was it you maybe that you had indicated that GoDaddy actually helps to facilitate and kind of brokers the transfer between the losing registrar and GoDaddy when registrants come to you and want to to basically transfer a group of names?
That's correct. We do that even in those cases where we are the losing registrar.
Okay.
Yeah, and the same for network solutions. We're involved in both cases, and we'll assist if necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one question I think that, and maybe we've discussed this, and I'm just not clear on it. I apologize if that's the case, but in the scenario that we discussed where a reseller becomes accredited, can a registrant or admin contact reject the transfer between the previous registrar and the new entity? Or is this process transparent to registrants?
Good question. I had that question.
Yeah, that is a good question. I mean, I think that from the standpoint of most of the dealings of the registrant has probably been with the reseller and not the actual registrar of record.
Right.
Would that not be correct? So I think that, again, you would have to have a notification, maybe 15 days prior to the transfer occurring out to all, registrars that would be impacted by it, letting them know, obviously, the WHOIS details are going to change, the registrar information, and the WHOIS details will change because, we don't recognize a reseller. It would be the registrar of record that's actually, I guess, the company that has the relationship with the reseller. So if they did have any issues, I would think at that point they would voice those to their reseller, and they could be excluded.
Another question is this even a partial bulk transfer, or is it a full bulk transfer? Because wouldn't it be all of the names?
Well, it would be a partial bulk transfer because it's not going to be all of the names under that are currently in the existing registrar of records portfolio of names.
Oh.
It would be just those that would be associated with the reseller.
Yeah.
That's correct. And also, the reseller could have could remain a reseller for certain TLDs and then become accredited for others. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I get it. Thanks.
Yeah, and I think everybody's touching on something that is always a theme for me, an important issue for me, and is a security issue here. Given what we've just described, since the reseller is not recognized in the existing transfer processes, transfers are done between registrars and facilitated by registries. We potentially could run the risk in developing these partial bulk transfer terms that a unscrupulous reseller, if we don't insist on some sort of notification mechanism for registrants, the registrant could wake up and find out that, oh, lo and behold, their registrar of record is now in some distant land, and it's very difficult for them to interact with that that particular registrar, any number of things. They could feel like the reseller has effectively slammed them.
Now, isn't that back to James's question?
Yeah, the visibility. I think this is a very, very good point.
Yeah, and also Barbara's FOA point, which
mm-hmm.
I think also.
And isn't this, if it would happen today that the reseller becomes an accredited registrar, and presumably, that would bode well for his not being a crook, hopefully. but wouldn't that amount to a transfer, formally speaking? So it would call for a number of FOAs to be handled for each domain name individually.
I'm not sure I followed that, Ulf. Could you say that?
Yeah, if it happened today that a current reseller be granted authorization or accreditation by ICANN and then would like to take over his customers effectively as being the registrar of record, that would imply, I would suppose, that we would need to handle all the transfers individually, because it would be a transfer, formally speaking, from the IRPTP perspective. So So I suppose that would call for some solicitation from the previous reseller, saying that, yeah, we now from now on we're accredited, so we would like to keep you as a customer, so could you please request a transfer here to us. Is that how it would happen today?
I don't believe that that's the way the NuSTAR model works. I think that, you know, they provide, you know, the gaining registrar provides the list of the domains, and the losing registrar confirms that they're in agreement that that list is appropriate. There is a notification requirement to the registrants, and, you know, I believe it's X number of days, it may be 15 days prior to the transfer occurring. But I don't believe that individual SOAs are obtained in that particular case.
Not in that particular case, but I'm thinking about when we still only have the individual transfers. We don't have partial bulk transfers as yet. And what happens today if a reseller becomes an accredited registrar and wants to move his customer base into his records as registrar of record? Can you do that? Isn't that wouldn't that have to be handled on a sort of domain per domain basis?
I believe it is.
Yeah.
At the registry, we would receive individual requests, transfer requests, and would process them. We wouldn't have any visibility into, you know, the fact that there is an underlying situation going on. We would just see the transfer request as an individual request,
right,
process it accordingly. And
of
so
course, in many cases, when there is a reseller involved, I mean, he happens more often than not to be the admin contact, so he can initiate the transfer.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think takes us back to James's point, which now I finally really get, which is somewhere along the line, it seems to me it's a good idea to have the registrant make the choice as to whether they want to leave the registrar they're with to a new one or not.
I'm not sure I agree with that, Mike, but I think it opens up an interesting paradox, which is, if we don't give them the choice, then does it become a security issue?
Yeah.
But on the other hand, if we have a very complex merger of two registrars, do we want to give individual registrants the ability to give a thumbs up or thumbs down on that operation?
Wouldn't, in the case of a merger of two registrars, though, fall under... in most cases, the bulk transfer that's already referenced. In
right. I'm sorry. Bad analogy.
Yeah. I think another example is a better one that teases. It's the one we've essentially been talking about is an interesting one. Let's say that, I don't know if GoDaddy has resellers, but I'm going to invent them if you don't. And let's say I'm a reseller.
We have a couple.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so I'm one of those. And I decide to become a registrar. Mike's pretty good backyard sleazoid registrar. Just barely make accreditation. You know, just barely have enough infrastructure to keep things going. And I want to take all of my domains from GoDaddy to me. It seems to me that a customer wants to be able to say, wait a minute. You know, GoDaddy's got giant infrastructure, they know what they're doing, and you don't know anything about what they're doing. Well, in the world, and I want to transfer you. It seems like the registrant needs to be able to make the choice when they're being moved from one set of registrar infrastructure to another.
But didn't the registrant make the choice when they registered the domain name through the reseller in the first place?
One thought on that, I think. I'm sorry.
I don't think so. I mean, when I registered through the reseller, I was basically buying GoDaddy with slight, you know, a little bit of paint on it.
But that's not typically the case.
Not at all. Yeah.
Typically, when people buy through a reseller, they have no idea that the domain registrar is a reseller at all. They think that the reseller is the provider. So I think if someone actually were to know they were buying through a reseller, that would be an aberration.
Alert.
And more likely, if they knew that the reseller was a reseller, they would go directly to GoDaddy.
Correct. And we undertake great lengths to ensure that that relationship is not visible to the registrant.
Which is what every reseller does, which is why resellers and registrars who have a reseller model are so averse to resellers being obligated to publicly state that they're resellers, because that would kind of destroy that model. People wouldn't want to go to resellers, they want to go directly to the source.
Right, and the registrant would have the contractual relationship with the reseller, not the registrar of record.
Exactly.
There's a can of worms. So what happens then when my scenario plays out, where the reseller, Mike's pretty good backyard, not so credible registrar now exists. At some point in this process, don't we want to disclose that they're leaving solid, well-built registrar A for brand new sleazoid registrar B and let the registrant make a choice?
Again, I think they already made that choice when they registered the domain name to the reseller. I mean, they technically have an agreement with the registrar as well. But their agreement with the reseller is, really the one that's dominant. And so, when they made their decision to go with Mike when he was just a reseller, if it's in the agreement that with Mike, that Mike has the ability to transfer the domain name to itself as an actual registrar, then there's not really too much a registrant can do.
That's exactly correct.
Yeah,
this is Michael Collins. I think we might gain some help by just looking at current bulk transfer procedures. I think currently now the registrant doesn't have a choice, largely because this occurs often because either a merger and the buyer is shutting down the old registrar, or a registrar has lost its accreditation and the names are being moved to, an accredited registrar. So the registrants don't typically have a choice, but they are notified.
That's an excellent point, Michael.
I think my sort of consumer hat says that it would be nice if the registrant, at the moment when the change in relationship takes place, and essentially the veil of the reseller, the veil that covers the true registrar, it seems like that's a moment at which that veil could be lifted. And a registrant could be given the choice between the two registrars that they now confront. And at that point say, I didn't realize I was living in GoDaddy land all this time, but I know GoDaddy, and I don't know Mike's pretty good backyard registrar. I think I'd just as soon stay with GoDaddy.
Michael, this is James.
Go ahead.
I would first, on a couple of points, I would strongly disagree with that idea. First off, as I think Michael or someone else mentioned, that choice was already made when they formed that relationship with the reseller. If we were to offer that type of choice, I don't know that the reseller model could survive it, because while there certainly could be Mike's backyard registrar that's questionable, there are plenty of honorable and legitimate resellers that have other services not central to domain name registration that would see a lot of their customer base leave, or given the option to leave. And I think it, once again, that it would be revisiting a relationship that was established, and it would be asking to create, from their perspective, create a new relationship that didn't previously exist.
Yeah, I think you can make the same case the other way as well, which is the slamming point. Suddenly I'm getting slammed into a new entity that I didn't, sign up to join.
But the thing is, you actually did sign up to join that entity. I mean, most people have no idea that they're dealing with a reseller. So in their mind, the reseller already is a registrar. And for all intents and purposes, the reseller provides all the customer services. So, you know, for really all intents and purposes, the reseller almost is a registrar.
Exactly. You might look at it as the reseller has just subcontracted some part of his operation to someone else, but not the customer.
Yeah, but suddenly, you know, on the one hand, I've subcontracted to a fabulous infrastructure-rich entity, and now I'm changing that to...
Yeah, but that's the risk the buyer. That's the risk any buyer takes when any buyer buys any service, whether it's a domain, a car, a burger, anything.
Yeah, except that, you know, in the case of most of those things, I know who's actually making the car.
Okay, then we just need another example. But I totally agree with Mark here, Mikey, and would also caution. I think if we, as a group, even attempt to try to insert the sort of disclosure requirement that you're suggesting, that's going way outside of our mandate right now. Issues like this are part of other ongoing discussions. You know, it touches on issues that folks have with the current RAA, whatever we want to call it, updating of the RAA process. And fundamentally, you know, what's been stated before, that there are contractual agreements between the registrant and whomever they turn to, whether it was a reseller or a registrar. Of course, there are contractual requirements between registrars and the resellers, things that need to be done. I think if we move, you know, well beyond what currently exists in terms of notification, in existing transfer policy, we can apply those sort of requirements to a partial bulk transfer scenario. But if we try to extend it beyond and say, and by the way, you would have to divulge who the actual, you know, registrar of record is, I just see that as so fraught with problems and just from a mandate point of view for this working group.
I'd like to leave this, you know, I understand that, and I don't want to make it a showstopper, but I'd like to leave it as one of the ones to puzzle about still. You know, this is a whole new thing that I'm just encountering for the first time today, and I don't want to just totally punt on it quite yet. But I'm certainly willing to let the conversation continue.
Paul, this is James.
Go ahead, James.
One possible recommendation would be that we maybe take this conversation to a side group and just see if we can reach some sort of agreement.
Okay. I mean, the other thought here also is that, you know, we, as always, will have to identify when there was, you know, group consensus on a particular course of action. We note it. If there are alternate views and whatnot, we note those as well. And perhaps something like this can be included in the report specifically as an alternate view. And we just, you know, create text, spell it out. The only concern is that when we move it to side group is that given schedules and everything else, not everybody can be there.
Right.
And it might be something people are very interested in hearing. If they only get the sort of end result of what the working group, the side group does, you know, it's kind of difficult. The last time you guys kind of split off to do the sketching out the process flow, I think that lent itself because it was the end result that everybody wanted to understand. You guys were just fact-gathering. I think if you're having a good discussion, we should either try and work it into the group or those who hold this view, you know, start thinking about text that you'd want inserted in the draft, so that we can address your concerns, those concerns. But we had the benefit of everybody hearing the full discussion and being able to contribute as that debate takes place.
I mean, maybe should we take a vote to see if we should keep discussing this? I mean, I agree with you, Paul, that I think it's pretty far outside the mandate of what our group is set to do. Should we take a vote on whether to proceed on this?
Oh, I'm happy to shut off discussion. You know,
yeah,
preclude that. I didn't you know, I sort of feel like I fell through the ice here and sort of need to swim around in what I fell into.
And Mike, yeah, I'm trying to definitely leave open the possibility if as you ponder this in the you know, coming week, whatnot, but you think you really have a you know, key point to make, by all means, please you know, post on list some suggested text that could be included as an alternate view, and you know, we can take it from there.
Yeah, and I think it may be easier if we can sketch out sort of the process of the various scenarios of partial bulk transfer. It may be easier then to see where to insert what into that to address this question that I've just sort of stumbled across.
Okay.
I might make one brief suggestion, Mike. Look at the notices that already go out when I can move, you know, forces and move because of a loss of accreditation for a registrar. And it might be that those notices aren't offensive, are bland enough that they wouldn't be too offensive for the kind of use that we're talking about. And I think they're already in use, and it might be easy to accept them, and it might fulfill your need or the need that you see.
I think the it's not so much the language of it; it's the breaking the model issue that James and Mark brought up, and that's really what I need to ponder. Sort of the implications of all that. But, you know, I think in terms of the language, I guess I'm less connected to that as I am just to the whole.
Well, I'll be real specific then. It does not give the registrant a chance to approve or disapprove the bulk transfers, but it does remind them that they're free to transfer to any registrar they choose, you know, after the bulk transfer is complete.
Do they have to pay a fee if they do that?
Correct.
Yeah, see, I think that's the tricky bit. If I like the place I am, and through no act of my own, I'm suddenly getting slammed into a new one, I kind of want to cogitate about whether I'd like to be able to take the choice of saying, no, I didn't know about GoDaddy until this instance, but I like what I got, and I just as soon stay put.
But who's to say that what you like has anything to do with GoDaddy if you're being served by the reseller?
Well, the thing,
and I think it's a different situation. Let's say if you have a domain name registered with GoDaddy, and GoDaddy were to basically just do a partial bulk transfer to, I don't know, some other registrar.
Yeah.
That would be a different situation, and I don't even know if that would be really allowed, because GoDaddy would have a contractual obligation to the registrant. I don't think it could just transfer the domain away. But I mean, this isn't that situation. This is a situation where the consumer went to a reseller, not knowing there was a registrar behind it. It's being served by the reseller. The customer service is the reseller. Everything about the relationship is the reseller. The only thing that's not about the reseller, really, is some technical aspects of storing some of the information. And so, I don't know that you can really say that, you know, they're being robbed and that anything really is going to change, because, you know, if the customer service was excellent with the reseller, when the reseller sits up a registrar, the customer service still probably will be excellent. Yeah. If the customer service were poor with the registrar, with the reseller, they'd be unhappy with the reseller anyway, and it wouldn't matter that GoDaddy was behind them, because that consumer would never be able to reach GoDaddy.
That, you know, it's actually not customer service that's on my mind. I hold a gaggle of really, really, really high-value domain names, like bar.com, for example.
Uh-huh.
And I've never transferred those names and never even thought to transfer those names, because I don't want to incur the risk that somewhere in the transfer process they would get lost. And since, you know, the risk I know is very low, blah, 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 but I would never even think about putting those domains in play between registrars, because even if the risk is 0.001%, those domains are so valuable that if they got lost in the shuffle, I'd be in bad shape. And that's really the place I'm coming from. Is, oh, it's sitting in one place, I don't want it to move. I don't care how good or bad the customer service is. They happen to be with Network Solutions, and you know, Network Solutions has good years and bad years in terms of customer service, but I don't care. I don't want those moved.
I guess my point is that in that situation, your domain name is really with the reseller. Like, technically, GoDaddy may be providing the services behind that, but your domain name is with the reseller. The reseller has the power to do most things with that domain name, and so...
But it's going to get transferred, and as soon as it gets transferred, it's in play, and that's what I don't want to happen.
But as part of a bulk transfer, I don't see what the concern is there.
Mike, this is James. Here's the one problem, I think, with the scenario you described, is that in this scenario, what you have, the deal that you currently have, is no longer available to you.
Okay.
And I think it's clarifying all of this that's the sort of consumer facet of this discussion. And again, I don't want to hang us totally up on this point. We've already consumed a lot of the call on it. But, this is the sort of consumer rights protection safety side of things that I really want to make sure we don't accidentally put a lot of very valuable domains in play. Admittedly at low risk, but Lordy, if we lost a few...
But I think we have to remember, too, that this is an inter-registrar transfer. The registrant information is not touched in any way that I'm aware.
I'm on the phone. I'll get that back.
Right. Yeah, but again, you know, we've got all these security things that we're talking about. Suppose somebody hijacked a whole boatload of them.
Okay. Folks, I'm just looking at the clock, and we are at the top of the hour. This has been one of the most productive calls we've had, and certainly in a while, and kind of sorry that we have to end it now. I absolutely want to continue these discussions next week and would strongly encourage folks, while the ideas are fresh in mind, to post those points to the list, keep the debate going through our mailing list. A couple of things, and I will work with Marika on the side. It would probably be useful for us to have posted to the wiki that notice that is sent during a bulk transfer process, so everybody can see the language that's there. Maybe we want to start, thinking about tweaking that work in. Also, I think we might already have on the wiki, but if not, I'll get it there. The FOA that is used, so, folks can see what is in. I think I can encourage these folks to use it. It's not a requirement, but I think most registrars simply cut and paste the language that was posted. But, you can kind of get your heads around what is communicated to registrants during a transfer. But in next week's call, I think, we need to continue discussing terms, maybe also look at potential fees if we can get clarification or confirmation on what Neustar is doing, and take a little further deeper about, how, if at all, any of those things might apply, so that we can more fully flesh out our issue 3 section of our report. And, we'll just keep everything moving. Again, thank you for everyone's time. It was a really, really good call. Obviously, any ideas, thoughts, comments, et cetera, whether it's on the draft or things that were mentioned today, post them to the list or, reach out to Marika and I. And we will have Glenn post another note, but we will be meeting this time next Tuesday, and we'll look forward to talking to you all again. Thank you all very much.
Thanks, Paul.
Okay.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you, Paul. Bye.
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 Take care.